I have some good news and I have some bad news.
Hit me with the good news first.
Good news. We booked my dream guest for episode 9.
That's pretty cool. So what's the bad news then?
I do not know what we're doing for episode 10. She's a big one. Rachel Hollis is our guest. So she first came on my radar a little earlier this year. I saw one of those viral videos of her on social media. And I saw it. I thought, who is this person? Because I am buying what she is selling. And I am not alone. Rachel's book, Girl Wash Your Face, has topped the New York Times bestseller list for more than 25 weeks. Her two podcasts, she has two.
Two.
One's hard enough. Rise and Rise Together were number one and number three of all podcasts on iTunes in the same week last month.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag big goals. Rachel Hollis is one of the most influential influencers, if that's even a thing, out there. Why not? You are going to laugh. You are going to think. You are going to get called out.
Like you did.
Oh, I did big time. And you know what? As I thought about it, she was totally right. She is one of the most motivating people on the planet. Rachel Hollis is our guest on Dying to Ask. Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow-through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask. Rachel Hollis, I am so excited to have you on the Dying to Ask podcast because Jeff backed me up on this. What book was sitting on my desk when we started talking about this?
This one.
This book, Girl Wash Your Face, was on my desk. And I said, someday this podcast is going to be big enough that we're going to get somebody like this on the podcast because she gets what we're talking about. And here you are.
Here I am. Wishes do come true.
Wishes do come true. In 9 episodes. Like, this is exceeding all expectations. This is a good day here at the Dying Desk podcast. Rachel, you know, our whole show is about how does someone come up with an idea and then actually get it to reality? How do you say, I'm going to write a book that's going to tell people how I've achieved these different things in my life? How do I make that a reality? And that is exactly what your message is about.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I didn't set out to, initially when I started out as an author, I didn't set out to write that book at all.
What did you set out to write?
Well, I'm a massive book nerd. I read more maybe than anyone you've ever met in your whole life. And I read a ton of nonfiction to sort of help me figure out how to be the person I want to be. But honestly, my passion and the thing that I'm super nerdy about is fiction. Like, I love fiction books. I could talk about them forever. So my first foray into the world of writing was as a fiction author. And I was just writing what I loved. And that sort of led to this career that I've had, which is, you know, Girl Wash Your Face is the 6th book that I've written. And again, I'm just writing what I love. So, you know, years ago, I was telling stories about girls, you know, getting jobs in LA and falling in love in LA, because that's what I was really into. And now I'm writing about self-help and personal growth and how do you make real and lasting change, because that's what I love currently in my life. So they say that you write what you know, and I really do just write what I know.
Okay, so that brings me to the very first line of this book, which is, I peed my pants last week.
Accurate.
You talk about writing what you know. This entire book is about what you've experienced. And I've heard your husband interview, and he said that when he first read it for the first time, he thought, oh my gosh, she really putting all this out there? And you really did.
Yeah.
You put a lot out there.
Yeah, intentionally, actually, because I have, for a long time, I've built my business and my platform on social media. And if you hang out with me on Instagram or on Facebook, you're going to see pictures where I look really pretty and I've got a blowout and my makeup's done. And I feel like as an influencer or someone who has maybe the ear of women all around the world, it's a responsibility to make sure that they understand that I have weird stuff, funny stuff, gross stuff, embarrassing stuff, just like they do, because I think that if you just see this like picture perfect image of someone, you might start to convince yourself that their highlight reel is their real life. And that's just simply not true. This is, you know, this is a huge thing that's happening right now with teenagers and kids that are coming up in a world where they've only known social media. So they only know a space where they're supposed to project a certain image. And it's really important to me that people know the very real truth. Number one. Number two, you'll find this, you know, you're coming to the event. So you'll see that I do this in my speaking as well as in my writing. I intentionally embarrass myself. I start off every single talk and book, and on purpose, I embarrass myself because I want you to know that I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go there really fast. Because if I, as a leader, can raise my hand and talk about those kind of things, it will help you to get to a place of vulnerability faster. And often, as a speaker, as a motivational speaker, I travel all over the world and I talk to women and men. And if I will be vulnerable first, it will get them there quicker. And if I only have 45 minutes with you or only an hour with you, and I want to make sure that I have the most impact in the time that we're together, we can accomplish more if we will allow ourselves to be authentic and real. So I just start off and I'm like, well, I peed my pants. And incidentally, I have a six-year-old. I just said this the other day online. I have a six-year-old who had an accident at school. He peed his pants at school, and he was so embarrassed and so upset. And I was like, oh my gosh, don't worry. It's not a big deal. And he was like, I don't want to be this guy. I'm bold. And I said, oh, Ford, mommy pees her pants all the time. And he was like, no, you're just saying that to me. I'm like, no, actually, I said, you know the book that, you know, because he has some understanding of me right. being an author, and you see, sign it and whatever. And I'm like, you know that book, and you know how a bunch of people have read it? He's like, yeah. And I said, the first line, I grabbed the book, and I'm like, read this line. And he's just at a state where he can, like, read pretty well. And he looks at me, he's like, you wrote that you pee your pants? Everybody does it. It's fine.
He had the same reaction your husband did, and the chef just did a moment ago.
Exactly.
You know what I love about that? That idea of embarrassing yourself early, it's disarming. And it also reminds me of what happens when you're in a group and you take responsibility first.
Yeah.
It instantly lets everybody else know it's okay. We can have a real conversation. And to me, the 20 lies and a truth that you tell in this book, that's how the chapters are broken down for somebody who hasn't. If you're the one person on the planet who hasn't read this book, and judging by the, you know, months you spend at the top of the New York Times bestseller list, there is one person. To me, that's like, that's the crux of this whole thing is, it's common sense. Decide what you want. Stop making excuses. Go after it. Don't blame people and expect more for yourself. Because if you don't expect things for yourself, why would you expect any of the people you work with, any of the people you live with, or any of the people you encounter in your day to want more for you?
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting.
Can you tell I've read this like five times?
Yeah, I love it. No, I think what's been really interesting to navigate in the last year is, honestly, I didn't set out to have it be what it is. And I guess for people who are listening, if they're not familiar with me or my work, this book I said was my sixth book. And the irony is that all of these reporters now will say, like, what does it feel like to be an overnight
yes.
success?
The word I always see for you is, what is the word? I always see meteoric. Like, she worked her. I can't say, Jeff, don't look at me like that. Yes, she worked her tail off for over 10 years. This was not a meteor. This was well thought out. You might not have known what the destination was, but you put in the work.
Yeah, no, it's been a really, really long time. And I think that there are absolutely people who set out to be like life coaches or teachers or thought leaders. And that really, truly was not my intention. My intention was always like, growth, personal growth is my greatest value. It's the greatest value I have in my life. And it was, I guess, natural that I would start to talk about that through social media or through my blog, which is sort of how I got my start. And I never set out for it to be what it is, but what it has become, incidentally, is not, there's this whole society of people who are obsessed with personal growth and personal development. And for the most part, I'm not really talking to those people. I'm talking to everybody else. I'm talking to the people who've never considered it before. I'm talking to the stay-at-home mama who doesn't even occur to her that she should have a goal or a dream for herself that has nothing to do with her children. I'm talking to the person who needs to hear that they were made for more. I'm talking to the person who needs to understand that their creator gave them massive potential, and what they do with that potential is the gift, is their gift back to the rest of the world. So our joke, we have all these friends who are leaders in the personal development space, and my husband likes to say, hey, you guys are going after the 2% of people that are really into personal development, and we're going after everybody else. Because I mean, I want, if I have a legacy, or if I'm trying to build something now with this opportunity that we have been given, it is, I want as many people as possible who may not have considered it before, that there's more out there that they can be, like, the only person that you need to be better than is whoever you were yesterday. So yeah, I think I love hearing the fire in your heart when you start talking about what people are capable of and how they can move into those spaces. And I think for many people, they understand and they resonate with what you're saying. But I also know that there are women and men who struggle with that self-esteem, who struggle with the self-worth, who struggle to see value, who struggle, frankly, to get out of bed some days. And those are the ones that I want to talk to and encourage and come alongside of and hope that they can see more in them than they currently do.
I think it's so interesting, though, that people are willing to listen to it now, because you're really blunt. I mean, like, that's an understatement to say that you're blunt about things.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment, because I am as well. But I will tell you, in the last 10 years, I am far more careful in how I choose my words with people that I work with, because it might be misinterpreted a certain kind of way. I mean, I'm pretty black and white at my core. It's how I was raised. But I don't necessarily, I deliver messages to different people in different ways. Your message is really black and white. What I love about it is that it's resonating with people in a way that kind of truth has not necessarily in our culture. So why now? Why do you think?
Well, yeah, you know what's interesting is that my style is very, very reminiscent of men who are excelling in the personal development space. So if you are into personal development, personal growth, and you've seen people like Tony Robbins or Brendan Burchard or Ed Milet or all of these men who are really successful in this space and really successful at motivating other people, even Gary Vaynerchuk for that matter, they are very in your face, tell it like it is. And the mentality, which I love, is that they're a coach. When you think of if anyone listening grew up doing sports, you didn't always like your coach, but the majority of the time you respected your coach. I say all the time to people, I'm not your cheerleader. There are so many people out there who would cheer for you no matter what. And if that's what you're looking for, there is a better person for you than me. I like to believe I'm your coach. A coach won't cheer for you no matter what. A coach sees something in you that you might not see in yourself and demands that you find a way to pull that out. So I think what's interesting is not that my style is new, it's that people aren't used to getting it from a woman.
Yeah,
and
you're
maybe
right.
Not from a woman, you know. It's an interesting dichotomy, and I recognize that because I've got, you know, hair extensions and lash extensions, and I love makeup, and I'm very girly. But at the same time, I will get in your face and challenge you on where you are.
I love it. You know, I coach middle school kids, and my favorite thing that I throw at them all the time is, you have got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that will serve you
Absolutely.
The rest of your life. All right, I want to take a quick break. But when we come back, I have been giving your book out. At first, I gave it out as a 40th birthday gift, because that's my world right now, to everybody. Then I started giving it out as a 30th birthday gift. And now I pretty much hand this book out to anyone who will read it. And I really hope that younger women will start reading it, because I think that they could save themselves a few steps along the way that maybe a couple of us did. So when we come back, we're going to talk about an event you're coming to Sacramento to do. You're going to be talking to some high school girls. And I want to know what you're worried about for them. You now have a daughter. I want to know, what are your hopes, your fears, but especially your challenges for them as they navigate this next part in their life. Did you know that Rachel has 2 podcasts?
That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's twice as much as what we have, just to use a little common core on you there. So one of them is called Rise, and that's where she does the motivational thing for individuals with goals. The other one is called Rise Together, and she hosts that one with her husband and her business partner, Dave Hollis, and that's the one they do about relationships. Mm. Uh-huh. They're both really good. So good that last month, in 1 week, those 2 shows were number 1 and number 3 of all podcasts on iTunes.
Dang. So where are we?
We're not there. Not yet. But Rachel does something in her podcast that I'm totally going to rip off. And by ripped off, I mean be inspired by. She makes the ask. She makes a direct ask for people to go and review the show, because that's how you get subscribers and that's how you get counted.
So that's what we should be doing.
Exactly. So our review of the week is coming from Scooter109, who wrote, "This podcast made me smile the whole time. Love the 2 truths and a lie." That was your idea. Episode 8, by the way, if you want to go check that out. Can't wait to listen for more. Thanks, Scooter. Reviews are like a podcast report card, and it's reviews like that that justify all those "Deirdre talks too much" in class comments that I used to get on the real report cards.
I just got, like, bad penmanship.
That hasn't changed either.
Nope.
Rachel, you're coming to Sacramento for an event called the Selfie Event. It's being held at one of our local high schools, St. Francis, a girls' school. And the event stands for Service, Excellence, Leadership, and Faith. So while it's really geared toward this high school group of women, there will be women of all generations who will be there. And what's kind of interesting is that people have interpreted your message based on their age and their experience in very different kinds of ways. When you first put the book out there, did you think it was really going to be to people who were in your own age group, in your mid-30s? Or did you write it hoping that it would appeal broadly?
Oh, gosh. No, I for sure thought it was going to appeal to women who were around my age. I guess I honestly didn't really think about – I didn't write it with a sort of – intergenerational, anyone can read it kind of mentality. I really truly wrote it just wanting to talk about the things that I had struggled with in my own life, because I thought that that might be helpful for other women. Like, if I told you what I had gone through and how I navigated those seasons and how I came out the other side, then maybe you could find something, you know, you could find and some commonality within those stories. I think what's been so incredible to behold is that it truly has resonated. You know, there are women who come to my signings who are in their 70s, and there are women who come, you know, who are in high school. So it really is kind of crazy. I have people all the time who will send me notes and say, like, "Do you think this is appropriate for my 11-year-old? And I'm like, "No, it is absolutely not. Nope, I don't. And you should know better." Uh-huh. No, you know, there are chapters in there that are inappropriate for 11-year-old.
Chapter 7, I think. Nope, definitely not.
Yeah, just go ahead and cut that chapter out.
I think for high school girls, there are a lot of things in there in terms of believing in your own worth. In inviting yourself, this is something I talk to Jeff about all the time, and like inviting yourself to the table and advocating for yourself, those are great things that they should be talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there is something, so many moms who bring their daughters to signings or who buy the book for their daughter and say, like, exactly what you said to me earlier, "I wish I had had this sooner. I wish I had known these things, you know, when I was 19 versus when I'm 42 and now I'm kind of having to navigate around them." To some extent, I think that we do have to walk through a lot of the things that we walk through to become who we're meant to be.
You got to make your mistakes.
Yeah, totally. And I also don't know, even if I had had a very compelling book that had good stories in it and I had somewhat whatever, I think I still probably would have done dumb things as I was growing up, even if I had that little Bible in my hand to kind of tell me what to do and not to do. I hope, if anything, with this generation that's coming up, my husband was saying, like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that our daughter is going to grow up in a world where your book exists," meaning the book that comes out in March, which is called Stop Apologizing, about Girls Stop Apologizing, about not apologizing for who you are. And I was like, "Oh man, I actually hope that by the time she's old enough to read it, she'll read it more for nostalgia's sake, more to see what mommy wrote than because she needs it." I feel like if I'm doing my job as a mother and if he's doing his job as a father and we're raising her to be who God called her to be, she's not going to feel apologetic about any of that, because that is our missional work here, is to make sure all of our children get to walk through life with as much support from us, knowing that, man, you are beautiful and worthy and loved as you are, and you don't need to change to fit into who society thinks you need to be or someone else thinks you need to be in order to have value.
I 100% agree with you about you have to make the mistakes. It's through the mistakes that we learn and we grow. That said, I wish earlier at that age, I would have had some more experienced women sit me down and say, here's how you need to live life. You need to support women. You need to support other girls. You need to raise them up. You need to establish the kind of culture that you want to be a part of and never impede in another woman being able to pursue her dreams as well. And I think that's the interesting thing about this. You alluded to this, this social media culture that they all have to grow up in now. It's really hard. I'm so glad I didn't live in that at that age. I mean, I guarantee you I would not have the job I have now if people knew about some of the stupid stuff I did in my 20s. There's no way. I mean, they don't get do-overs sometimes. And I just think that the pressures that they live in are so great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's something that as a mom of an 11-year-old who started middle school this year, it's something that I am constantly doing battle with because he asks almost every single day of his life if he can have social media, if he can have a phone that has internet on it, if he can. And, you know, it's that thing when we're like, absolutely not. He's like, you're the only mom.
Yeah, you're not. I'm there with you.
Kid. I'm like, no, you know what? I would rather that you think I'm uncool. Tell all your little friends that your mom's uncool because she won't let you have social, because I know what's there. And I just want him to be able to be a kid. I want them to be able to be kids as long as they can. There's already so many things that our children know about today that I never knew about or that I wasn't aware of or that I didn't have to be concerned with. And I want them to stay little as long as possible. So, I think there it's a fine line. I know a lot of, I'm someone who works in social media. That is my space. I own a media company. So I think there's also this idea a lot of parents have where they're kind of terrified. Like it's this horrible thing. You know, the internet is an incredible tool. An incredible tool. And I'm speaking as someone who has built my company with a high school diploma and Google. And that's the God's honest truth. Mm-hmm. I have built a multi-million dollar business by Googling things and watching YouTube videos and listening to podcasts and all of these resources and things that I didn't have access to when I was little that my children will grow up with now. So I don't want people to sort of live in fear that it is this terrible thing. It's a tool like anything else. And a tool can be great when you teach them the right ways to use it and you put parameters around it. And it can be dangerous when you just sort of hand it to them and, you know, see what happens.
Something that Deuce and I were talking about kind of leading up to this, after I watched one of your promotional videos, I'm like, this is all great stuff. This is like long time coming, good information. But part of me also kind of wondered about, what about our boys, our young men? Are we raising them to be young men? For example, I saw something where someone wrote on social media that they were looking for, clothes for both of their kids. He had a little girl and a little boy, and the little girl, he could find all kinds of clothes that were like girl power and empowering and all this positive, reinforcement and this positive message. But for the boys, he just found like dude or cool or, you know.
So you just described the two aisles of Target when you're walking down the aisle between the kids section.
So
yeah, totally.
Like, is there in this current era of empowerment and Me Too, is there a possibility for just kind of an overcorrection?
Gosh, I'm sure there absolutely is. I think that it, like almost with anything, it comes back to how you are raising your own children. Mm-hmm. So I have three little boys, and a fantastic husband. I have three little boys and a daughter. And when I'm thinking of how I'm raising them, I'm not thinking of how I'm raising them separately. I want to give them all the same tools, all the same sense of capabilities of what is possible, what you can do when you work hard. What are those values that we as a family really care about? Because it's just as important to me that the boys understand that language as the little girl does. I think if anything, there's something really beautiful happening right now where certainly anytime that there's a movement, people go in both directions, right? Mm-hmm. But what is beautiful that's happening right now with all of these new voices being heard and the things that you're seeing with the media is that people are considering things that they maybe haven't before. They're looking at things differently than they have. And that can be a blessing, and that can be something fantastic. And I know so many women who are considering things for themselves that they wouldn't have done before. So I think what's important for me as a mom, and we're doing this all day, every day, and we're constantly course correcting. My husband and I were like, we'll listen to a podcast and I'll be like, oh, I heard this parent say, it's really important to us how we start our day. So our morning routine is really a big deal. So we've been, and we're instilling that in our kids, and we're constantly tweaking their morning routine to try and help them feel better about their day. So we do, it sounds like we're a bunch of hippies, but like one of the first things I ask them when they wake up in the morning is like, what do you have to be excited about today? What can we look forward to today? Or who are you going to play with? So I'm trying to help them to mentally create positivity right. in their day.
I love that.
And now we're like, when we tuck them into bed at night, a different kid gets to pick the song every day. And we say, okay, what song do you want to wake up to tomorrow morning? So it'll be like, oh, I want to wake up to, Natural by Imagine Dragons. And that means when mommy walks in the room in the morning at 6:15, I'm blasting Imagine Dragons and we're all singing about how we're natural and we can do anything. And so that's something that we're teaching them all in real time. And there's no difference. So we won't teach Noah differently than we teach Ford.
Right.
Noah's our daughter. I know that's confusing if you're familiar. Yeah, I think it's just how you as a parent, you need to decide what's best for you and for your family and how you want to show and explain to them. And I think, by the way, raising three boys in the current climate is, it can be kind of scary, mm-hmm. or it can be an opportunity to have conversations that they need to have, that they need to understand that, hey, can you understand why it might feel like this? Or going to them all the time. This is going to get really like, wait, maybe too much for our conversation now. But we have a conversation all the time about winners write history. So the winners get to write history and why that matters and what that means for history, or how you understand certain things, or how certain people's stories don't ever get to be told because they didn't win that war, or they didn't win that battle, or they didn't win that skirmish. And hey, guys, why would that matter? And you know, does that matter if that means that whole generations of people or whole groups of people, their stories have been lost because their voices were made silent? So there's so much opportunity in what's happening right now to have conversations with them that my parents would have never had with me. And again, right, it's another tool. You can see this as something that's scary, or you can see this as an opportunity. And how do I navigate this with my kids?
I love that you're so open to trying new things with your kids. When I try new things at our house, my older son will always say, did you hear this in a podcast? Like, sure did. Wait till I get home today. We're going to try some new ones.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of podcasts, you have had the number one podcast. We do not yet. So when we come back after the break, we're going to pick your brain on what makes podcasts successful these days, what really makes them connect with people. And I want to know about some of your own personal habits, the way you do life. And we'll do that right after this. You know, as we get deeper into this chat with Rachel Hollis, I'm realizing that I have a lot of room for personal growth.
I didn't say it.
And I am not alone. Women everywhere can't get enough of Rachel's message that we are all made for more. And that's why St. Francis High School in Sacramento booked Rachel as the keynote speaker for the first annual Selfie event on Sunday, October 28th. It stands for Service, Excellence, Leadership, and Faith. Get it? Selfie. Okay.
So this is where you're telling me where it's all sold out?
Pretty much, yeah. 1,100 tickets sold out in 72 hours. 2,000 people signed up for a wait list.
Why are you telling me these things that I can't go to? You're just telling me what I can't have.
Because I have a workaround. It's going to be offered on a pay-per-view live stream. Kind of like a boxing match. Minus blood, with a lot of tough love. Which means that everybody who's listening to our podcast right now, including those 4 subscribers in Canada, who are you, by the way? We do love you. Anyone who's listening can feel like you're there seeing Rachel in person. Log on to the selfe.com website. So S-E-L-F-E. DineToEat.com. Live stream passes are $30, but if you enter the promo code Dine to Ask, all one word, you will get it for just $20.
That's fancy.
Isn't that cool? I know. We have a promo code. This is big. The money is going to fund future selfie events. So now let's go back to our conversation and my personal transformation with our guest, the New York Times bestselling author of Girl Wash Your Face, Rachel Hollis. Rachel, you have something you call the last 90 days, the great challenge that you do within all your social platforms, with the idea being, here we are in the last 90 days. What did you not get done this year that you said you were going to do? And it really comes down to having really good habits. And I love knowing how people do things. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, you have some, I don't want to say regimented, but maybe it is regimented, things you do and you don't do. So let's start at the beginning of the day. How do you get up in the morning? What time do you get up?
So we get up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. My husband and I get up at 5 a.m. every single day. And we really are passionate about a morning routine. We think if you can conquer the morning, then you conquer the day. If you conquer the day, then the week, the month, the year, your life, the whole deal. So we get up at 5 and then we trade off days. So one of us goes to the gym immediately. And then one of us gets to have a morning for a little bit before they get the kids up and start to get them going. And then every single day we swap. So we have a live stream that we do every weekday at 8 a.m.
It is
so
addictive. I listen to it. I work the early morning shift here, so I actually get up at 2:20 in the morning.
Gracious.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
So don't tell me to get up earlier to get more time in my day, because it's not going to happen. But I do love listening to it. And it is funny. That is also part of your day, and that's become part of the messaging as well.
Yeah. So we switch off, and then one of us is either working out and the other one is getting the kids ready for school, getting them breakfast, getting them going, helping them to start the day really well. And then we switch. The second person goes to the gym, and the person who just got home now is taking the kids to school. So we're just dividing and conquering. And then get back and have a green smoothie every single day that tastes absolutely disgusting. I have had the same smoothie every day for years, and I hate it every single morning.
You know, God love you for admitting that you don't like the taste of it. All the green people are like, it's the best. The kale. I love the crunch of the kale.
No,
I'm like,
no
one loves that.
But it's full of really good things. It keeps me full, you know, all this stuff. So, we have a smoothie. We do our live stream from 8 to 8:30, Monday through Friday. And then after a live stream, I will set my intentions for the day. So I have a practice that I've done for years where I write down things I'm grateful for, and then the dreams that I have for my life. And I feel like I need to make the distinction for you guys. This is a big part of the new book. So there's a difference to me between a dream and a goal. A dream is something that you imagine. You think, man, that would be great, or I'd really love to try that, or what. It becomes a goal when you have a plan of action. It becomes a goal when you decide to make that dream reality. Otherwise, it's just something that you're thinking about, like, gosh, that would be nice. So every single day for years and years, I write down 10 dreams that I want to make come true. Meaning if I was looking at my future and I had become the very best version of myself, the best mom, the best wife, the best businesswoman, the best communicator, if that was my future, then these 10 dreams would have come true.
You write down 10 of these every single day?
Every day. The same ones over and over and over and over. And here's the key.
Okay, what is the key?
The key is I write them down as if they've already happened. Because I heard somewhere years ago, I'm trying to find my journal. Sorry, hold on. I heard somewhere years ago that we do this all the time, right? You say, I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to buy a house. Your brain only focuses on going to. So if you need to give your brain something that kind of like shocks it into reality. So if you write down, I am out of debt. Whoa. Okay. Well, that's legit. What does that mean? I am a millionaire. I don't know. I'm making things up. There's something really powerful about that. Your subconscious, I swear this is real. Your subconscious starts trying to help you figure out how to make that true.
That is awesome.
Every day, right?
Wait, let me try it. Jeff, we are number one on iTunes.
That's awesome.
There you go. I did this practice for probably 3 years. And what is so insane. I can't even, I know you guys can see me, but so I have these spiral bound notebooks. I keep my notebooks for years and years. And I just, for years, would write down these same things. I am a New York Times bestseller. I only fly first class. All this stuff. And what is absolutely astounding to me is in the last 9 months, how many of the, like all the dreams on my list, I've had to redo because they all are my reality now. And it's not, you know, there's that whole thing where it's like, oh, the secret, you put it out in the universe and then it just comes and it happens. No, that's crap. But when you set your intentions and you know that you're working towards something, you have somewhere to aim. So I write down the 10 dreams that I want to make come true. And then the key for me is the one goal that I'm going to focus on first. Because too often, if you're a dreamer or an achiever, you can think of 50 things that you want to do. And if you try and chase 50 things at one time, your impact is very small because mm-hmm. you don't have the energy to push towards it. But if you're like, I'm going to choose one thing, I'm going to get my health into incredible shape. I'm going to get myself out of debt. I'm going to save $5,000. I mean, whatever it is, one goal, and then I go all in on that one thing.
So since you've had to come up with some new ones, what's on the list now?
Well, it's the first product we ever made, and I'm not telling you the story because I'm trying to sell the product because we sold out.
Wait, hold on a minute. You broke the internet with your planner.
We broke the internet.
I just told Jeff about this, and he said, how do you know this? I said, because I was on our anchor set trying to buy one.
Oh, my gosh. I will send you one.
I went running out into the newsroom. Our executive producer is a huge fan of yours as well. I said, I can't get the planner. I just logged on. I got the email. Oh, my gosh.
We had no idea.
Oh, you should have planned. Yeah, so, you should have planned for it. You should have planned for utter world domination with the planner.
We had no idea how many people would want it. And what I keep trying to remind people is like, y'all, I wrote this down in a spiral bound notebook for 3 years. So you don't need the fancy journal. You didn't get one. You don't need it. We got more coming in November. Don't worry about it. So every single day I would write those things down, and I will tell you, look, cause I have mine cause this is how I start. So, let me find one. So one of the things, and then you guys can come back and you'll tell me if this becomes reality.
Oh, you almost caught yourself there.
So the next book that comes out in March is called Girl Stop Apologizing, and pre-orders for books are really important because that's how you make the New York Times list.
I suggest that you print a few extra copies so you don't run into the same issue.
Yes, right? So one of the things on my list is 100,000 pre-orders of Girl Stop Apologizing, which is a crazy number for pre-orders. Crazy. Bananas crazy. The things I tell people, the dreams that you write down on your list should be like embarrassing. Like if someone found your list, they should be like, oh, Deirdre Jen lost her mind.
Yeah.
Like
they
should be up, right? But then I have things that are not about, that are not crazy. They're reminders of who I want to be. So I write down, I'm an exceptional wife. I'm an exceptional mama. And that just reminds me of the kind of woman I want to be and how I want to show up for my family. And then because I'm writing the new book right now that comes out in 2020, which is about health and something I feel really passionately about that women are struggling with really badly. So I write down every day, health is my most successful book and the best thing I've ever written. Oh. But I'm writing it as it's already happened.
I love it.
One more is really a really big deal to me is Rachel Hollis times USO. So military families are something that are incredibly close to my heart. We have a ton of family who have been in service or are still in service. And I'm so, so grateful for not only our members who are in service, but their families as well. And we're working on a USO tour.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
Okay, Rachel, I know we need to wrap this up. And so selfishly, we're going to ask you to challenge us. We have both worked in television news where you don't always have the luxury of time to get into a great conversation like this, which is what brought us to this podcast. We love the conversations. We love that people are active listeners. When you seek out a podcast, you're saying, I want to learn. I want to change. I want to grow. we want to grow our podcast. You have had the number one and number three podcasts in the same week. They have two podcasts. What's your challenge to us? And maybe what would you tell us to do as we look to grow this space?
So the most important thing that you can do for your audience, for your podcast, is to add value to your audience. So many people who get into podcasting are trying to compete in the way that everybody else is trying to compete. And the question we are always asking ourselves is, how are we serving our audience? How are we serving our community? How are we bringing them information that is helpful to them? Meaning, like, my podcast that went up today was about how do you increase your revenue, which is something that people might think, like, what a weird thing for Rachel to talk about. But I know that the vast majority of people who listen to the Rise podcast are small business owners, because I'm speaking on stages to them all the time, and it's something they really struggle with. And so I was like, well, maybe it would be helpful if I told people the few things that I've done, really simple, tactical pieces of advice that would be helpful to my listeners, and for you, the same thing. So what's gonna happen is that your instinct is gonna be like, oh, I wanna be like everybody else in my category. And I wanna get, you even said earlier, sorry, I'm gonna call you out, but you said earlier, like, someday, we're gonna be big enough that we're gonna get a certain kind of person on your podcast. And what I'm gonna tell you is, the person on your podcast is not necessarily going to drive listeners. What's going to drive listeners is that you understand your audience and you are serving them. So everybody right now, because our podcasts are so successful, everybody wants to be a guest on our show. And at first we were like, this is so fancy. All of these big, exciting people want to talk on our show. But then we get them on our show and all they want to talk about is the book that you could go buy or the thing that you should sign up for. And that doesn't help my audience at all. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you're struggling financially, you might not have the funds for that. So I only want people on my show that are as passionate about serving an audience as I am. And so I guess I would say to you guys, who is your audience? Who are your listeners and what do they care about?
Rachel Hollis, thank you so much. There are people that you see have these, and I'm doing air quotes, don't worry, meteoric rises. And you go, I don't get it. Like, why is that person that person? And it's very clear why you've made such a connection with so many people around the world. And I couldn't genuinely be more happy for your success. And I really can't wait. I can't wait to see what you wrote down in that book and check in 10 years and see where things are. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Of course. Sue, I've never been to a therapy session.
You probably should.
Thank you, Jeff. But if this is how it feels after a good therapy session, you're right. I probably should sign up for a 10-pack because I'm kind of fired up.
Yeah.
I got a lot out of her and the conversation. I feel really inspired, and I feel very challenged by the way she challenged us to look at our podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like we need an episode where we break it all down. And then we try to figure out where to go from
there. We might just have to do that.
I think so. All right. I want you to get fired up, too. So check out that live stream. It's Saturday, October 28th. Again, go to theselfe.com. It's all one word, selfe, no I in there. And don't forget to enter the promo code DYINGTOASK, one word, for the live stream. And it's just $20 if you do that.
Free discount for our listeners.
Free discount. I know, because we love you more than others. Follow Rachel on Instagram and Twitter at Ms. Rachel Hollis, on Facebook at The Chic Site. Check out her two podcasts.
Two.
Rise and Rise Together.
So how do people follow you?
So you can follow me on Instagram at Run Read Sip, on Facebook at KCRA Deirdre, on Twitter at KCRA Fitz, and of course,
here. On Dying to Ask Podcast.
That's right. New episodes every Sunday night. And don't forget to check out Producer Jeff's Instagram.
At Producer Jeff. Not that anyone asked.
We were thinking about it. Remember what she said. You got to ask for what you want.
It's true, which means you guys need to review us. Please. I'm asking.
Nicely.
Nicely.
Please.
Please.